Welcome to First Post Masterclass, our podcast series where elite athletes break down their craft for you. My name is Amit Kamat, and joining me in this episode is fencer Bhavani Devi. Bhavani is one of India's top fencers who specializes in the discipline of saber fencing. Bhavani, first of all, I wanted to understand, your siblings are lawyers, or one is an investment banker. What made you choose fencing, and how, unconventional was that decision?
Actually, my brother was not in the investment thing. He works in an insurance company.
Right.
Yeah. So I always loved playing when I was young. I always loved being with friends, play and enjoy the time. So when I joined my new school during my sixth class, so my senior students came up with the sports they had in that school, and they asked to give 6 members in each sport. So by the time I give my name, fencing was the last option they had.
Okay.
So I did not know anything about that sport before. So I just wanted to play something. So I gave my name, and after that only I know about how fencing is played, what are the events and all.
Right, and so it was just sheer luck.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to know why saber particularly. What interests you about saber?
Because saber, when they explained about the sport, for saber they said this is the fastest among other two events. So where we just, move fast and hit the opponent first. Or if the opponent comes first, you have to defend quickly. So when they said fast, it looked very clearly from the outside itself, saber from the other two events. So that's the reason I chose saber.
Right. I think you used to do foil as well before, right?
Yes, I actually started EPI.
Right.
Because that time, so my first competition was school games. So they already had enough players in other sports, other events. So our teachers suggested to play, ask me to play EPI, and I lost my competition, first competition.
Right.
And then not because only of that reason, but again I liked foil and saber, because the second fastest was the foil.
Right.
So I chose both foil and saber at the beginning, and I still love playing foil. But since after playing foil for 4.5 years, the federation announced that one player can play only one event.
Right.
So I chose saber, which I always wanted to do.
Right. I was listening to one of your interviews earlier, where you said that when you pick up the sport in India, just run and hit is something that you are taught. Tell us a little bit about how the other countries kind of groom their youngsters? What are the kind of things they are taught differently than?
So I think fencing from the early Olympic 1819 during that period, saber, if you see, it's running. You can even cross the leg. It looks almost like a running,
right.
Like a sprint.
Right.
You just run fast and hit the opponent before he hits you. So that's how saber was played earlier. So fencing wasn't developed later in India. So that's why we were following the same rules and same techniques at the beginning. After I started playing, only in that time we started going for more competitions. And then we changed our techniques, we changed our style of playing saber. And also even now, saber always constantly changing the rules, the convention. Even last year, they changed the timing. So like if I touch, if both opponents touch at the same time, so there is if I touch you milliseconds before you touch me, I'll get only one single lamp. So only one lamp glow.
Right.
But now they improve the time. The time is longer. Even if I touch 1 millisecond after you, there will be both lights will be on the both sides of the opponent. So there are these kind of changes still happening. So at the beginning, we did not have that exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Later, we started going for competitions, camps, and slowly it is improving.
Right. You spoke about exposure. I know for a fact that you train in Italy with your coach. Could you tell me a little bit about why you chose Italy and how that has kind of helped you become a better fencer?
So, usually before every world championship, the International Fencing Federation organizes a camp and invites athletes from the country where fencing is not popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, they invite few athletes from India and from other countries where fencing is not popular, and they give their own coach, with high standard elite coach, and we will be in the camp for 1 or 2 weeks before the competition. So that's where I met one Italian coach whose name is called Alberto Coltorti.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually surprised to see an Indian fencer participating in the competition, and he also told me that he's happy that the Indian fencer is doing good, my basics are very good. And he said, if I want to, he said I can improve much better, and he will teach me fencing freely, with free of cost for a month. And he said, whenever you want, you can come to my club and train. So that's how I first went abroad for training in 2012 for a month. And I won medal in the Junior Commonwealth, which is the first medal for Sabre. So we won team silver and individual bronze.
Mm-hmm.
So then I thought that I need this training for longer period so that I can, you know, sustain in that international form. And unfortunately, he was busy with other students. And during my training with him, I met Nicola Zanotti,
right,
who is also one of the Italian national coach. His students were world championship medalists, World Cup medalist, European championship champion. So I approached him, and he was also very happy to work with me. That's how I started training under him. And actually, I met him in 2013, but with the funds and to get funds for my training and all other things, I got only in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I started, you know, training with him from 2016. And since we already have a good relation, I could able to understand his teaching. And I was always good at adapting to new situations and new styles of fencing. So that helped me to learn their style, because Italian style is very unique, and it is very more tactical saber with Italian fencers. It is actually difficult to learn, but I was able to learn it quickly, and also I started seeing my performance getting better. My ranking was also improved. So yes, that's how I started working with them.
Right. You mentioned that, you know, the Italians have a very tactical style of playing. Could you tell us a little bit about how other countries, you know, the heavyweights, maybe South Korea, what is their style of fencing?
Yeah, from my point of view, South Korea is very simple in technique.
Right.
But their physical quality is, naturally, they have a very good physical quality.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make lunge from a very long distance in a very quick time.
Right.
Italian is, they're not very quick, but their tactical and their strategies are very strong. So, for example, if they want to make one defense action,
mm-hmm.
first they prepare to make an offense action and then they make defense.
Right.
So, but it has to be in very short time. So, because Sabre is fast, that touches like 1 point can happen in less than 20 seconds. So he have to plan the action before, and he have to do multiple actions within shorter period, within milliseconds. So that's how Italians are technically and tactically strong. And Koreans are technically, they're very simple techniques, but they do with great physical quality. With that quality, they are doing their best. Even using these simple techniques. Likewise, most of the European countries are always tactically strong. But Italian style is very different. But all other European countries are similar. Chinese and Asians are, zone-wise, it's similar. Like, European style is different, but you can easily identify which fencer trains in Europe, which fencer trains in Asia.
Right. And what about the Americans? Like, there is Ray Simojin, Miles Shamley Watson.
So in America, there are many coaches, you know, from Europe also working there. And so some of their styles are similar. But if you see an Italian team, all the Italian girls' styles are similar. But if you see a USA team, each fencer's style is different.
Right.
So they don't have one particular style. So they are mixed with all kinds of techniques and tactics from all the world.
Right. Bhavani, I wanted to understand, we've already seen because of our wrestlers and our boxers that, you know, having a sparring partner for them particularly is very important. How does that equation come into play when you are talking about a fencer for you particularly? Do you need to have a sparring partner or can you train without it?
No, no, we definitely need a sparring partner because when you hit during the training, when you hit hit your opponent, the feel is different.
Right.
Than when you hit the air or when you hit some target in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the opponent do different timing. They might do opposite action or they might do the same action in different times. So you have to adapt to those situations in a very short period, which you will get only when you train with the right opponent. So it is difficult to train alone for fencing,
right?
Because you won't get the same timing when you fence or compete in a competition without doing partner training.
Right. So how difficult was it for you to train during this coronavirus lockdown, this pandemic? Because I know you are in Chennai, you are not in Italy, obviously. So how difficult was it for you to train by yourself?
Yes, it is difficult, but I'm using imaginary partner, dummy partner, using my kickback or placing a mask on the wall and doing target training. My coach is giving me online training. So I'm doing I'm doing all efforts what I can do in this situation.
Right.
But of course, it is difficult without training, without partners.
Mm-hmm.
But since we don't have competitions right now, and when competition starts, we hope that we will have enough time for preparation. And of course, right now, training with partners is also.
Right. You know, when you look at the sport, it seems to be something where there you need speed, you need balance, you need fleet-footedness, you also need precision, obviously. What would you say is the most important quality required to be a fencer?
For fencing, you need to have all quality. For IAS, you need to know about all subjects, a little bit of knowledge about all subjects,
right?
Social, math, everything. It's the same for fencing. You need to have all the qualities like mental, physical, flexibility, speed, endurance, patience, because we don't use one speed or we don't go with one form, one style. We mix because it's, for example, in Sabre, I said it's a fastest among other humans, but it's not always fast.
Right.
Sometimes you move very slowly than the other two events also.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to change according to the opponent, according to the distance, according to the speed you use. So I cannot say that this is the only one quality you need for fencing.
Mm-hmm.
But other than all physical qualities, fencing needs more mental preparation. Because you have to think and take right decision at the right time. So for that, you have to mentally strong during the competition because of the intense emotion during the competition.
Right. Is there such a thing as being too fast and that making having a negative effect on you while competing?
It happens with everyone because sometimes you make fast actions, the opponent changes in between. Sometimes you are too slow,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes you are not very you're not in the even in the normal speed. So it happens at all the time. So you cannot be perfect all the time, but you have to have that control and patience during the match to change it quickly. So everyone makes a mistake, but who changes it a shorter time wins the match. So that is what the high talent for Spencer.
Right. For I mean, it's said that, you know, for people who are watching fencing on live or maybe on camera, just casual fans, they are not able to kind of see when a hit actually takes place because it's happens in like a fraction of a second. But for a fencer, does it feel like, you know, the whole action of attacking, parrying, riposte, all of that takes place in kind of like a slow motion thing?
You mean during a match?
Yeah, during a match.
Yes, yes. For a fencer, I mean, who is playing on the pitch, they can feel that thing because they know why they got that point, and they also they know why they, you know, lose that point. So they can understand that speed. They can imagine that action in a very slow motion, and they can feel it very, I mean, much better than anyone else off the pitch.
Right. And, you know, when we, just for the casual observer, when you're looking at the sport, it seems that you are only, you know, basically it's going forward and coming behind sideways.
Yes.
So what kind of happens when you have a person who is a left-handed, you know, fencer? Do you have to change tactics to counter them?
Yes, I mean, no, we don't have to change many things, only little things. Yeah, so for a right-handed fencer, they are always strong on their parry towards left.
Okay.
So if you imagine a fencing on guard position of a right-handed fencer, they can easily go towards left side of their body.
Right.
So then opening towards the right side of their body.
Mm-hmm.
For the left-handed fencer, it's the same. So when you fence against a left-handed fencer, you need to attack mostly. I mean, of course, all the top athletes are strong on all sides of the all sides of parries.
Mm-hmm.
But still, mostly they are more strong on their right side. So you need to try to attack on their left side.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about how your day looks like when you're training for a competition? Like, how many hours do you put into training?
During competition, so a day before competition, of course, we do light warm-up and light lesson with the coach just to feel and to sweat a little bit in the competition arena, to feel that competition arena. And on the day of the competition, we do a long warm-up because the day is long. If we start competition at 9 a.m., the round goes till 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. We get enough break, but of course, if we do long warm-up at the beginning, it helps till the end of the day. So we do long warm-up. I prefer to do long warm-up. And then I prefer to take a long lesson with my coach. And then 10 to 15 minutes of the actual time of the competition, I do some warm-ups with the fencers, do some matches for 5 points, like 4 or 5 matches. And then before 5 minutes of my match, I go to my pitch and I just stay and try to recover what are the actions I need to do during the match and against some opponents.
Right. And how much kind of, you know, weight training do you have to do? How much, you know, just cardiovascular exercises do you have to do to be a successful fencer?
I know some athletes who does not do weight training, even top athletes.
Okay.
But I personally like to do weight training. Of course, we don't do much weight training like other sports, like weightlifting or other sports, which need more physical strength. And we do some kind of weight training. We do squats, we do deadlifts, but we don't put on more weight. And it depends on the athlete and the coach. If some athletes need to improve, to improve their lunge or improve their speed during the fencing match, they can work on this. They can put more weight, or they can work on squats and explosive jumps. But if an athlete who is naturally doing all these things easily, they don't have to put the more stress on their body by doing all this stuff. So
right.
it actually depends on each athlete, because in fencing, I have seen athletes who does more weight training, and I also seen athletes who does not even do minimum amount of weight training. So it is totally depend on the athlete's body and their requirement for the sport.
Right. And is there a particular age, you know, when fencer or average fencer is supposed to peak?
Yes, I think after when you reach junior, so the junior category is under 20.
Hmm.
So from 20 years of age is almost senior. So even though we have a new youth category, but from 20 years, our focus will be more on the senior competition. So I think from 20, you can see peak performances of an athlete.
Okay.
In fencing.
Right. And you I know you mentioned that, you know, you have to live in Italy to train to get decent exposure. Could you tell us a little bit about the aspect of funding and how important it is in a sport where in India at least there is not so much visibility?
Yes. So I almost thought of quitting the sport because of this financial situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then Go Sports Foundation selected me under their scholarship scheme called Rahul Dravi Mentorship Program.
Right.
When I went for the interview, I never thought that I would get the scholarship, because fencing was not a popular sport, and I never know that I never know there are foundations like Go Sports exists in India that support athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend, actually my close friend Shwati, she only applied on my behalf.
Okay.
To this foundation. And when she told me that the interview is going to be in Chennai, I said, okay, I'll go for the interview. But I never thought, I just thought that I won't get this scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that if I don't get the scholarship, I stay back home, because I was training in the Sports Authority of India, Talasheri Sai Center in 2015.
Right.
So I thought if I don't get the scholarship, I'll stop fencing and stay back home.
Okay.
So when they announced my name as as the first athlete for fencing who selected under this program, I was very happy. I was surprised at the beginning, because a foundation like this supporting new sports is what we need in India, because there are many athletes who are doing good in fencing. Now they have more than 7 fencers in their scholarship team. Junior athletes are doing well. So I'm very happy, and Go Sports plays a very important role in my career. Because of them only I could able to, you know, continue my sport.
Right. Would you consider that as the second piece of good fortune that you had in your career? The first was of course that when you were in school, when you picked up.
I told Go Sports that Go Sports gave me the second opportunity for me to do my sport.
Right. Right. Have you had the chance to meet Rahul Dravid? And if you have, what is the kind of things that he told you?
Yes, during the interview in Chennai, we had an interaction session with Rahul Dravid, sir. He was very polite. We were like more than 20 athletes in that interview. And everyone was asking different questions. Most of them were actually same. They were using different words, but actually most of them were asking the same question.
Right.
I also asked some questions. And the best thing that I saw from Rahul sir is he listened every question fully. And he he answered everyone very patiently and very clearly in the way that the athlete can understand it easily. So I asked about the difference between training and competition, because sometimes I perform well in the training but I don't do the same performance in competition.
Mm-hmm.
So he explained me in a way that, you know, I can understand, and I understood very clearly, and that changed my attitude towards training and competition. So he is very polite and very positive person that I have ever met.
Right. Okay. Just a couple of last things. I wanted to know this thing that you mentioned, you know, that you are placing a mask and training at home right now. What else are you kind of doing so as to keep in peak fitness? Something that maybe you've never tried before. Is there something like that?
Actually, even this one, this mass training or using my kickback, we have been using, I have used it earlier also. So when I started fencing, we did not have much equipment in Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
So we used walls, placing some masks on the wall, and we do target training.
Right.
Sometimes we use sticks because we keep the swords only for the competition.
Right.
So this is not a new idea for me.
Right.
Maybe just the bag, because I used a long bag. That time we used only the wall. So this time I used my fencing bag. And I don't do any new stuff, but I tried to do more fitness. Online fencing training was new this time because I never done that before.
Right.
So, putting my phone in front of me and my coach giving me instructions and doing that action, that is different, which I never done earlier. Other than that, my fitness and my all other routines are all always same.
Okay.
And of course, at the beginning, we only trained at home. I did not have much fitness equipment at home, but whatever I had, I did. I tried to do my best, and my fitness trainer gave me program according with that. I used more own body weight exercises, using chairs or using benches, using windows, so all this stuff. And from last few weeks, I have been going to Nehru Stadium because training at my terrace is different. Of course, I'm doing the same fencing training as Nehru Stadium, but the floor is different because this floor is very hard. It might it is not good for training for longer period. It might hurt knee or lower back.
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing is they allowed me to train at Nehru Stadium, so that was helpful. And again, now I'm doing proper fitness training at Ramachandra University, where they have the Center for Sports Science, so which is a high performance center. So yes, right now I'm doing all these things. We are waiting for the commercial flight to start, and my coach is waiting for me in Italy.
Right. Thank you so much for your time today, Bhavani. So, that was Bhavani Devi with her insights on fencing. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. Don't forget to tune in for the next edition of First Post Masterclass. Until then, stay safe and goodbye.